great is our God. Amen?
Amen.
And it's a question that we can't answer. Amen? I mean, He's so great, it's beyond our imagination. And I'm so grateful this morning. Thank you, Erica, for sharing that with us. I had the privilege of being out the other night. Miss Erica, for those of you that don't know, she is the director of choir there at Vicksburg High School. And they are doing their spring musical this past weekend. And got to go there Friday night and watch them. And man, I was just so impressed with how well everything was done and organized and just a great program. And so grateful again to have folks that are in our public school system. We have the Coach of the Year here this morning, Jeremy, as well. Glad we've got folks in our public school system that are making positive impacts on our young people. Amen? Amen. Hey, give them a hand this morning. I tell you. We'll be sharing our small group time this morning, just with things that goes on and with our kids and the school system, and you just never know where these kids are coming from, and it's little wonder that they're struggling and that they're challenged to learn, because we as adults have made it almost impossible. We've kind of put into the laps of our school teachers some kids that have been damaged. And so we as adults have a responsibility to raise up kids and support our kids. And so I'm thankful for our people in our public school system and all of our school systems that are impacting kids. And grateful again. And I'm always kind of jealous, really, about people that can sing and that are musically inclined, because I struggle. I mean, it's hard for me to get to being on the radio, okay? And so it's all digital now. You don't even have to tweak the dial anymore, you know? And so I really struggle with that. So I'm always grateful for folks that have a love and passion and a talent for music. John Sebastian Bach said that all music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshing. That's a great statement for music. Did you hear that? He says that all music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Now listen, we know that what the devil has meant for good, God can take and use for good, right? But we also understand that what God has created for good, the devil tries to get in and mess up, right? And what we need to understand this morning is that all music is God created. And the devil's got his hand in some of it, okay? But when we use music for the sole purpose of glorifying God, then it refreshes the soul, amen? And my soul has been refreshed this morning, amen?
Amen,
amen, man. Praise God. Give me my hand again. Bach, always, when he wrote music, he always put at the very beginning of the score, he would put JJ. It was the initials for Jesus Junior. It was Latin to say that Jesus helps me. And so before he began to write, he always noted that Jesus is the one who helps him to compose and to write the music. At the end, he had the initials SDG. It was Latin for "to God alone be the glory." So picture this. He started writing to say, Jesus is going to help me write this. And when he got finished with it, he said, "to God be the glory for it all." Amen? Amen? And so this morning, we've started our worship service. JJ, Jesus is going to help us. And at the end of the day, He'll be all glory and honor. Amen? And here in Luke chapter 19, we find a familiar passage that we call the triumphal entry. It's interesting that we declare this as the triumphal entry. It's the time when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem and he's about to go to the cross. He's about to be crucified. And it doesn't look like victory. It doesn't look like a triumph. It looks like a defeat. But we're blessed this morning to have retrospect, to look back on this time and to realize that it is in fact more triumphal than the people of that day realize, in the fact that we know in this moment Jesus is going to be victorious over death and the grave and our sin. Amen? That's a triumphal entry this morning. And so Jesus has just left the house of Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus, the wee little man? Climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And the Lord came along and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today, right? And so there's these religious folks that are talking. Man, if he knew who Zacchaeus was, why is he going to hang out in his house? A lot of people say that still today. Man, if he knew who Bill Wright was, why would he ever let him get up and preach? Well, I praise God this morning that Jesus loved me in spite of me and poured his grace and his mercy out of me. And so now Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He instructs two of his disciples to go into town. They're going to find a colt that's never been ridden. And they're going to bring it out. And they're going to put their garments over it. And he's going to ride in to the city. And so I want you to see this beginning here in Luke chapter 19. Notice with me in verse 37. He says, then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, that the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God in a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in earth and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and he said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Amen? I ain't going to let no rock steal my praise. Amen? And if we're silent, the Bible says that the very rocks will declare his name and they will lift up praise. So here's Jesus. He makes his way down to the west side of the Mount of Olives towards the city, and he's praised by the crowd. They're spreading out their robes on the road in front of Jesus. It was a sign of respect. The whole crowd of his disciples began to be overwhelmed with joy and to praise God for all the miracles that they had seen, for all the mighty works that they had done. And they began to quote Scripture. They're actually reciting Psalms 118 in verse 26. It says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. And so as they're praising God, these Pharisees, these religious folks, these religious leaders, these scholars, they began to rebuke them. What's going on? Why is Jesus allowing the people to declare that he was the Messiah? Well, the reason that Jesus allows them to declare that he's the Messiah, because he was the Messiah. Okay? To rebuke them and to not allow them to proclaim him as the Messiah would be to deny who he is, in fact. And so they told Jesus to rebuke his followers, to tell them to stop. And Jesus responded that there must be some proclamation. He says, if they don't declare I'm the Messiah, I'm telling you, the very rocks will cry out and declare. Listen, all of history up to this point is pointed toward this single spectacular event of Jesus coming and the Messiah being revealed and presenting himself to the nations. And so the purpose of our worship this morning, everything that we've done here this morning, whether you realize this or not, some of you have come in here this morning and you thought it was all about you. You thought it was about some kind of thing that you like or whatever. No, the very purpose of our coming here this morning is to worship and to make known to the world that Jesus, in fact, is King and Messiah. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on now. Yeah. Let's declare that. Listen, I love the Bible and I love the truth of the Bible. Words have meaning, and meanings are put into these words. It says here that they came with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. There's a passage over in Ezra where they were rebuilding the temple and they praised God. And the Bible says they shouted and they sung so loud that the ground shook. Amen? Kind of goes against the grain when we think we're supposed to come in here, sit down, shut up, and be silent. Right? Man, when you come to praise God, the Bible describes this as an expressive type of worship. I want you to realize the expression of their worship. As they were coming in, they were singing with a loud voice, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest." Now, I'm not sure what your idea of worship might be. Everybody's kind of got their own idea about worship. But worship is never quiet and passive. Nowhere in Scripture do they worship as a congregation in a quiet, passive, benign way. Worship always expresses itself. Worship is expressive. That is, that it's seen, that it's heard, and that it's experienced. If you don't experience worship when you come to church, I don't know what you missed something, okay? It's to be experienced. It's to be enjoyed. It's to be expressed to God. So here's three things. Worship, first of all, it involves our spoken voice. It involves our spoken voice. I love it when little kids, "Hey, good morning," you know. I love it when people talk back to you, you know. I love it when people give a little amen, glory, hallelujah, amen. We're responsive. Worship involves the voice. For too long, we've taught people to come in, sit down, and shut up. That's not what worship is. Worship is to come in and to stand up and to shout and to speak out. Amen? To worship. Amen? Come on. Listen, here's what the Bible says. Psalms 34, verse 1. The psalmist says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth." Okay? It's an expression of love. It's not only speaking, but shouting. Psalms 5 and verse 11 says this, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you." And then in our singing, Psalms 47 and verse 6, "Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises." And so worship involves our mouth to speak, to shout, to sing. I'm telling you, man, some of my best times of worship have been alone. And man, just God reveals himself and God gives me something. And sometimes I'll just stand up and go, "Whoa, man, God, that was good. I like that," you know? It just gets all over, you know? Listen, if we could sit in the living room, and sit in front of that idiot box and scream and holler and shout over a basketball game or a football game or a baseball game, we ought to be able to get excited about Jesus every once in a while, right? Not only with our voice, but also with our posture. Body language says something. The Bible says in Psalms 95 and verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker," to humble ourselves before Him. And then also in standing. Sometimes it's standing. Psalms 135 and verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise Him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord." So there's this posture where we bow down, where we stand up. Now, a little commercial break, okay? You know, sometimes shows come with warnings, viewer discretion, and advice, okay? Get ready. I don't want you to have an identity crisis this morning. I know where I'm at. You know where you're at, right? We're all sitting here in the worship center, Trinity Baptist Church, right? Some of you are watching online, some of you are listening on the radio. Okay? So here we go. Dancing. Listen, here's what the Bible says. Psalms 149, verse 3. "Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and the harp." Now, I've been asked this question. Can Baptists dance? No. I've seen some of them. They look like they need worming, but they're not dancing. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. Okay? We're not talking about that. The Bible says that David danced before the Lord. I've been in worship services where there were interpretive dances that were done very tasteful and gracious. And I'm telling you, it was an act of worship. And the Spirit of God moved through that. Well, why is it that we let the devil steal our dance? When David just danced before the Lord, that he got excited about what God was doing. Not only in our spoken voice and in our posture, but even in our hands. Listen to here. The Bible says in Psalms 33 and verse 3, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Our hands are used. God gave us hands, and he gave certain people talents and skills to play instruments with those hands. Whether it's the piano, whether it's the keyboards, the organs, the guitars, the drums, whatever it might be. God's given people skills. He's put talents in their hands, and they're to use those hands in the act of worship. Clapping. Psalms 47 and verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. The lifting of the hands. Psalm 63 and verse 4. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. And so worship is to be expressed. I was at a youth camp several years ago when I was still young enough to get in. And took our kids, and we were there in a worship service one night. And the praise was, we were in the praise time and worship time, and we were singing, and there were people just, you know, different ways. And there was this one group, and they all were holding each other's hands. And they were all holding each other's hands up. Just a whole group. There's probably 40 of them in that one group. And I was so impressed with the worship leader of that night. He stopped the music. And he said, let's think about worship here. Worship is an expression of our relationship with Christ. And the Bible talks about how we're to bow before God. Sometimes we stand before God. Sometimes we raise our hands. Sometimes we bow our heads. Sometimes we lay prostrate before Him. He says, so you worship, but don't hold your hands up just because the next person's holding their hands. Don't shout just because the person next to you shouts. It's between you and God. God leads you to worship in one way, you worship that way. And God leads somebody else to worship in another way, you let them worship God that way. So I think what I've tried to describe to you this morning is that worship is an expression. Worship is an expression of our relationship with God. And we all express that differently. You don't want me to worship God this morning by the playing of the instrument. That won't be worship. It'll be a distraction. Okay? I've often wondered what it would be like just to hold a guitar and just strum it every once in a while. Just to stand here, you know? And everybody would be thinking, he's going to play it just any minute, you know? And I never would actually play, you know, because then it would become a distraction. You don't want me doing that. You don't want me singing. You don't want me singing. That'll really turn you on. You see, God's gifted every one of us, and God leads each one of us to worship in our own manner. Psalms 19 and verse 1 says, Revelation 19 and verse 1 says this. After these things I heard a loud voice, a great multitude in heaven say, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Can you imagine what it's going to sound like when 10,000s of 10,000s of 10,000s stand to sing, glory, glory, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the name of our Lord. I'm telling you, the whole universe will tremble and shake. Amen? Amen. Worship is going to be expressive, and it should be expressive today. Amen? But you know, when I look through this passage, not only do I see this expression of worship, but I also see a suppression of worship. Notice the Bible says here in verse 39, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. There were those that were there at the same time They're watching the Messiah be ushered in. And yet, they think, you know what? This is undignified and uncalled for and shouldn't be happening. I hear people express fear that the government is trying to shut down the church. Well, I got news for you. The government could care less what we're doing here this morning. There's more folks in the room trying to shut down what we're doing than there are outside the room. There's those religious leaders that come in and those people that say, well, you know what? We've got to do it this way. We've always done it that way. Listen, that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that this worship is expressive and we should express ourselves. Listen, the world has long attempted to shut the mouths of God's people, and I completely understand why the world doesn't want us to worship. I just don't understand why the people of God don't want to worship. There's this suppression of worship. Oh, we're not going to do this in church, or we're not going to allow somebody that has this talent in church, or we're not going to allow this person that has this skill set in church. It's a suppression of worship. I love what Matthew says in Matthew 21 and verse 15. It says, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And get this. Notice, it says the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done. They recognized it as being wonderful. And when the children start to cry out, the Bible says they were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. And there's no praise sweeter to God than a child. And we're his children. We're his children. Don't be one of those who hinders worship from the other guy. Here's another passage in Luke chapter 11, verse 52. He says, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You do not enter in yourself, and those who were entering, you hinder. Hey, just because you don't like it, don't keep somebody else from enjoying it. You know? Don't be a stumbling block for those. Remember again, I mentioned already that David danced before the Lord. And remember when David danced before the Lord, it says there in 2 Samuel chapter 6, it says, then David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. Let me just explain this to you. David came in his underclothes. Okay? I'm not trying to ruin your lunch or anything like that, but David came in his linen ephod, in his underclothes. He had stripped away everything that was worldly except for his underlings. And he is worshiping God. And look what happens. The Bible says that David returned to bless his household, and Michal, his wife, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king today? Boy, you really put on a show today, didn't you? Man, you made a spectacle of yourself today. Have you heard what the word on the street is today about you? And David said, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will even be more undignified than this, and I will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. David said, you think that was something? You didn't say nothing yet. Hello? Come on now. That's what David's talking about. Don't let anyone suppress your worship. Do you know the greatest suppression of worship today is really ourselves? We're really our own worst enemy. Come on now, be honest this morning. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with one another. We're at church, okay? Have you ever had that moment in church where you felt like, man, I just want to shout and praise God? But you don't because you wonder what somebody else might think? You see, they didn't hinder your worship. You hindered your worship. David said, I don't care what they think. I'm not gonna suppress my own worship. I'm gonna worship God. And listen, I'm confessing. Confession is good for the heart. Man, there's times, man, I almost wear this chair out, man, and worship. God moves. Man, I'm going to stand up and do cartwheels up here sometime. Not that I could, but that's in my mind, you know. Listen. But sometimes I resist, and sometimes I restrain because I think some of you might not like it. And I'm just telling you, I'm confessing this one. I don't want to suppress my own worship. I don't want to be my own worst enemy. I want to think more about what God thinks of my worship. What anybody else thinks of my worship. Amen. 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 And so we consider this expression and this suppression, but then I want you to notice the compulsion of worship. He says here in verse 4, but he answered and he said to me, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry. Do you realize that you were created for worship? God created you. God, the God of all the universe, the eternal triune God, self-sufficient God, who didn't need anything for anything, created you just so you could worship Him. So that He could love you, so that you could love Him back. That's called worship. That's what you're created for. And if you don't fulfill what you were created for, all of creation is still going to cry. Because all of creation has been created to glorify God. In Isaiah 43 and verse 21, it says, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Listen, it is not difficult to find the meaning of our Lord in this utterance here. Why should I silence my disciples? This is what I created them for. Why would I create them to praise me and then tell them not to? We're compelled to worship. It's what God created us for. Psalms 98, verse 7 says, let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. All of creation sings out to God. You ever been to the ocean? You ever been to the ocean and just sat there and watched the waves crashing? Do you realize, have you ever realized how hard it is to carry on a conversation with somebody that's like 5 feet away from you at the ocean? Because it's so loud. You almost have to be right there next to each other. That's because all of creation is loudly singing and praising God. Amen. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, Isaiah 55 and verse 12 says this, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And it's the music of God when all of creation sings praises. And so it's useless or worse than useless to try to extinguish this enthusiasm by some hard, repressive commandment. Listen, the foolishness of suppression and the wisdom of allowing, inviting, providing means of suitable expression will apply in many areas of our life. Listen, I'm grateful that you've come here this morning, that you've tuned in on the radio, that you're watching online these services this morning. And I'm always amazed that somebody would show up for worship and for me to have the privilege of preaching. But I can tell you this morning, if you stood this morning and said, preacher, we don't want you to preach here anymore. And I've had that happen. But I'm telling you, you may not let me preach here, but you won't stop me from preaching. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, you may not let me worship like I want to, but you're not going to stop me from worshiping. Okay? Amen? It goes in every area of life. You can't stop me from praying in school. I'm telling you, as long as I was in school, there was 10 times praying. Okay? Hello? And listen, and when my kids got older, I even became more prayerful about school. Hello? You can't stop me from reading God's Word. You can't say that I can't have a Bible. You can't stop me from praising God. You may not like how I worship, but I'm telling you, I'm going to worship. Because God created me to worship. Psalms 30 and verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever, ever, 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 I don't know how long that is, but in forever and forever and ever. Amen? One of my favorite singers, Ron Canova, wrote a song and said, I ain't gonna let no rock steal my praise. I ain't gonna let no rock outpraise me. I ain't gonna let no rock cry in my place. I ain't gonna let no rock outpraise me. I ain't gonna let it sing. I ain't gonna let it sing in my place. I will make a joyful noise. I will sing a joyful song that is pleasing to the ear of the Lord. I will make a joyful noise. I will sing a joyful song that is pleasing to the ear of my Lord. I will praise the Lord. Amen. Will you praise Him this morning? Will you praise Him this morning? Hey, let's bow. God, this morning, God, we've come to worship You. God, to praise You, to glorify You, to honor You today. God, with our voice, with our bodies, with our spirits, with our minds, our hearts, and our souls. God, everything that's about us, we praise You today. God, as we enter into this week that we call the Holy Week, God, leading up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, God, we celebrate knowing that the victory has been won, that the grave has been conquered, and that our sins have been forgiven. And God, no matter what else is going on in our life, God, we can praise You for that. And so, God, today we give You our praise. God, may our praise today come before You. It's a sweet aroma. It's a joyful noise. God, may You be magnified and glorified in You. God, today we love You and we praise You. We ask You this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, if you've never met Jesus, if you've never come to the point place where you've had a personal encounter with Christ, and truly experienced what it is to know Him as the Messiah, the one whom God had sent to this world to die on the cross for your sins, so that you could have forgiveness of your sins, and so that you could have eternal life with Him. If you've never met Jesus in that way, this morning, I invite you to come to Jesus. Would you just simply come to Him this morning? Would you come to Him today? We're going to stand in just a moment singing a hymn of invitation, we call it. But it's your opportunity to respond and to come to Christ. Would you come to Him today? Maybe today your church membership is somewhere else. And we'd love to have you come and be a part of our family right here at Trinity. Come and be a part of the worship time here. And so we invite you to come. Maybe you want to just come this morning to the altar and just praise Him, giving thanks. And you came to the cross and you received forgiveness. Maybe this morning you want to go back and give Him praise now for what He's done. Amen? You come as we stand and as we sing. That way, come this way.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and His grace so free is sufficient for me.
Adam, why don't you come up here for 2 minutes?
As wide as the sea, there's room at the cross for You. There's room at the cross for You.
You believe that decision that you made by God
was a real decision. There's still room for
I praise God, there's some great things to do today. Just pray for me this morning. Have a share and talk to you about God. Father God, this morning, I thank You for being here. God, I thank You for her willingness to come before You this morning. God, to realize that God, she's scared. God, she realizes that her life has not been rightly.
And welcome this sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for You. There's room at the cross for You. there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Amen. You be seated this morning for just a moment. I'm thankful this morning for just the Spirit of God moving and the way that He does. And I know God's dealing in hearts today, and we're going to continue to follow up this week. And I want you to know, if you have questions or, man, there's just some doubts or whatever it might be, I want you to reach out to me, whether it's online or whether it's a phone call or just come to see me in person. Love to be able to sit down and talk with you so that you can know that you know that you know. As we've shared this morning, Jesus is making His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Later in the week, He'll sit down and He'll have a meal with His disciples, the Passover meal in that day. And at that meal, Jesus institutes what we call the Lord's Supper. Some would say that it's the Last Supper. But there's another supper coming one day. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we get to have this meal with Him in person. Amen? And how we approach this meal is important. Do we approach this meal as the Last Supper, saying, oh, well, it's all over? Or do we approach it as the last meal for now, because we know there's another meal coming one day? Amen? In anticipation of that. And so Jesus says, until I return, you do this in remembrance of me. And so you have your elements this morning. And I'm going to ask you to just listen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, it says, when the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. And then He said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then He took the cup, He gave thanks, and He said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. And He gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. And so if you'll remove the bread from your elements, this bread represents the broken body of Christ. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And I'm going to ask if Scott McClellan, would you just ask God and voice our prayer this morning and thank God for His broken body for our sins?
Lord, Father, we come to You today, Lord. Just thank You, Father, for all that You have done for us. Lord, You came, You were tormented, You fought, and then You were crucified, Lord. But You did it for us, and today we want to remember that. In Jesus' name.
Jesus said, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as Moses and your fathers ate and died in the wilderness, but he who eats this bread will never die. And then Jesus said, this cup represents my blood, which is shed for you. I'm going to ask Stephen McGee if he would. Would you voice our prayer? Thank God for His shed blood at Calvary.
Lord, we thank You for what You've done for us.
Bible says in Hebrews, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. By the blood, almost all things are made pure. The Bible says after they finished the meal, in Mark it says they went out singing. Amen? They went out singing a song. This morning we're going to leave in like manner as well. I'm going to ask Mike to make his way up here. We're going to sing a closing song. Before we sing this closing song, I want to give you a couple of instructions, and we're going to have a word of prayer. We do have a meal of time today, and I'm grateful for those that have helped and prepared that meal. As we've partaken of this meal here, this spiritual meal, now we go to fellowship around a physical meal. It's that relationship. It's that sitting around the table and bonding together that Jesus used that time to picture our relationship with Him, our relationship with one another. And so today, I want to encourage you, as we sit around the meal table, take opportunity to speak to somebody maybe that you've never met before. It's okay. We're going to give everybody a license today. You have a license to embarrass yourself, okay? You're going to go to somebody and you're going to say, hey, I don't believe I've ever met you. And they're going to say, well, I've been coming to church here for a year. It's okay. It'll be okay. All right? So we're going to meet and greet one another. We're going to have a meal time together. It's going to be sweet, sweet fellowship. So we want to invite you to join us. Hey, you came this morning and you didn't realize we were having a meal. You didn't bring anything. That's okay. That's okay. There's plenty of food back there, right, Mike? There's plenty of food back there. You're free to have anything back there as much as you want, except the banana pudding. Don't touch it. No, I'm just picking. I'm just picking. So I want us to stand this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. My heart's desire is when you leave this place today, you can go home and say, man, I truly worshiped today. Amen. So we're going to ask God to bless our food, our time together. And before I pray, I also want to make note of when you go back into hey, Rhonda, do we have any special instructions on where the line starts and goes?
We have two sides.
There's two sides. All right. So the ladies will be back there in the hall. They'll kind of direct you where to go. There's two sides to the table, so make your way through there. You'll notice fellowship hall there, the tables are set up. They're set up at an intersection. There's a really incredible floral arrangement there, and that's given by Cammie and her family in honor of Miss Kay East. And so if you see her, tell her thank you for sharing that with us today as well. Hey,
and we have a photo shoot place.
Yes, yes. Please take your pictures and then share those with us as well so that we can share that with everyone. Okay. All right. Hey, let's pray. We're going to ask God to bless the food at this time. And then when we get back there, you'll just be able to go right ahead and eat and fellowship. Okay. Father God, today we love you. We praise you. We worship and adore you. And God, we thank you most of all this morning for the shed blood of Jesus at Calvary. God, that washed away our sins and cleansed us. God, we're grateful for the resurrected body of Christ. God, that defeated death, the grave, and our sin, and rose victorious. God, that we could live victorious. And so, God, today we give you praise and glory and honor. God, not because of who we are or anything that we've done, but God, only because of Jesus and what he did for us at Calvary. And so, Father, today may you be magnified and glorified in it all. Father, as we move to this mealtime, God, I pray that you would bless the food. God, that you would use it to nourish our bodies, to strengthen us. But God, I pray that you'd bless also just our time together. God, that we would be of one mind and one body and one spirit under one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, today, may we be able to love one another as we love you. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Good deal.
Yeah, let's let all those people come back here first. It's a good idea. Thank you.